Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. This is Amy Horowitz, and today we're studying Yeshayahu Perek Lamed He. Perek Lamed He is a continuation of the nevuah Yeshayahu delivered in the previous Perek, a nevuah about the destruction of Edom, which symbolized the destruction of all the nations that worshipped idols and theologically opposed the Jewish people. Our Perek opens, Yesusum Midbar Vitziya, Vitagel Arava Vitifrach Kechavatzalet. The arid desert will be glad, the wilderness will rejoice and will blossom like a rose. Who is Yeshayahu referring to as the desert and the wilderness? Who will rejoice at the downfall of Edom? Abarbanel and Mitzudat David see both the desert and the wilderness as a reference to Am Yisrael, the desert representing the cities that have been desolate and the wilderness representing the land itself that's been barren. In other words, the entire land of Israel will rejoice at the downfall of her enemies. Malbim interprets a desert as a place that's intrinsically unfit for planting and growth, as it's too dry and too hot. A wilderness, on the other hand, has the intrinsic potential for things to grow, but is overrun with thorns and weeds, making growth improbable. According to the Malbim, Yesusum Midbar Vitziya, the arid desert will be glad, is a reference to other nations who, like the desert, are lacking in intrinsic spiritual potential. Those other nations who haven't been destroyed along with Edom will be glad to hear the news of Edom's downfall. In contrast, Vitagel Arava, the wilderness, which is a reference to Am Yisrael, full of spiritual potential but currently overrun with weeds or sins, will be more than just glad. The wilderness will rejoice. This is because the downfall of Edom coincides with the arrival of Mashiach, at which point the weeds will be cleared, the sins forgiven, and Vitifrach Kechavatzalet, the former wilderness will once again blossom like a rose. This rose, declares Yeshayahu in Pasuk Bet, will blossom abundantly and will receive the beauty of Lebanon, the Carmel, and the Sharon. What's so special about these places? What beauty can they contribute to the already beautiful land of Israel? Malbim explains that Lebanon is known for its tall and mighty cedar trees, but not necessarily for its beauty, whereas Carmel and Sharon are famous for their fields of wildflowers, beautiful but not at all mighty or impressive. Yeshayahu prophesizes here that Eretz Yisrael will receive both the honor of Lebanon, its impressive might, and the extra measure of beauty of the Carmel and Sharon. Abarbanel adds that in addition to this great physical honor and beauty, the pasuk ends by promising, Hema yiru kvod Hashem hadar Elokeinu. They will also receive an infusion of spiritual honor and beauty in the same extraordinary measure. This is a beautiful nevuah. Yeshayahu has just described the rejuvenation of Israel's glory after a long and hard period of exile. Sometimes, looking at a barren field or a desolate plot of land, it's hard to imagine it as lush or beautiful. Therefore, in Pasuk Gimel, Yeshayahu delivers words of encouragement. Chazku yadayim rafot uvirkayim koshlot ametsu. Strengthen the hands that are weak, support the stumbling knees. Rashi suggests that we can find strength and support in the words of the Nevi'im, who have tempered their prophecies of punishment with nevuot of consolation and promises of a better future. Abarbanel interprets this as an instruction to the sages and leaders of the Jewish people throughout the generations of Galut. Strengthen the faith of the people when it falters. Support the stumbling knees of the people when they experience struggles or suffering. And it's true. How often have we indeed turned to our rabbis and religious leaders to guide us through the unique challenges of our generation? Radak, however, makes this instruction a little more personal. It's not only Nevi'im and rabbis who can offer us guidance and chizuk. He explains that this pasuk is urging anyone whose faith is strong, those who believe wholeheartedly that redemption is imminent, to support and encourage their friends and neighbors, those whose faith in Hashem might falter as the years of exile march on. In Pasuk Dalid, Yeshayahu includes those who are impatient for the Mashiach to come amongst those that need encouragement. These people don't lack faith in God, just the opposite. They have tremendous faith that Mashiach is coming. They just desperately yearn for him to come now. To them, Yeshayahu offers his own words of encouragement. Imru lenim hare lev, chizku al tira'u, hine elokechem nakam, yavo gmul elokim, hu yavo v'yoshachem. Say to the anxious of heart, be strong, don't fear. Behold, your God, requital is coming, the recompense of Hashem, he himself is coming to give you triumph. Mitzudat David explains that by mentioning the concept of gemul, reward and punishment, Yeshayahu is reminding us that our redemption is part of a process. God will first punish the nations that caused us to suffer, and then judge every individual person, rewarding those who deserve and punishing those who deserve. Once that judgment has been rendered, then, finally, Hashem will redeem us. So, as impatient as we are for Mashiach to come, Yeshayahu is reminding us to trust not only in the promise, but in the process. The second part of our perek turns to that promise. Yeshayahu delivers a nevuah about Yemot HaMashiach, making it clear that as hard as it is to wait, our redemption is well worth waiting for. In Pasuk Hey, Yeshayahu describes, Az tipakachna einei ivrim ve'oznei chershim tipatachna. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Abarbanel identifies the blind and deaf people in our pasuk as those who struggled with their faith and needed encouragement, the subject of the nevuah in the first part of our perek. Their struggles blinded them, made them deaf to the consoling promises of the Nevi'im. But when Mashiach comes, their fears will be allayed, their questions of faith answered. Rashi and Metzudat David interpret them as people who refuse to see or hear the directives of the Nevi'im, ignoring their warnings and exhortations to do teshuvah. When Mashiach comes, they'll see and hear the truth and recognize the error of their ways. It can sometimes take a lifetime of searching to reach the truth. Someone who questions God and his ways might read and research, discuss, and consider answers to his questions for years as he struggles to find a way to understand what's bothered or confused him. But when Mashiach comes, our pasuk promises, Az tipakachna, then in that one instant, he'll recognize the truth that he's been searching for his whole life. Yeshayahu continues to describe the promise of Mashiach in pasuk Vav. Az yedaleg ke'ayal piseach v'taron lashon ilim ki nivku'u b'midbarmayim u'nechalim be'arava. Then the wounded will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout out loud, for waters will burst forth in the desert, streams in the wilderness. Malbim connects this pasuk with the opening pasuk of our perek. He explains that when we see the rejuvenation of our land, blossoming like the rose in pasuk Aleph, bursting with water and streams in the formerly arid Midbar and Arava that Israel became during our absence, we'll understand that Hashem's promises have come true. This will cause us to leap like a deer to serve Hashem once again, and our tongues will shout out loud songs of praise for Hashem. The implication of this is that, while in Galut, it was like we were wounded, unable or unwilling to leap at the chance to do mitzvot and serve God. While in Galut, it was like we were mute, we had no songs of praise to Hashem to sing. Rashi takes a different approach, explaining that in our exile, we've listened to our oppressors mock and degrade us time after time, but we haven't responded, often having no good answer to give. Both of these opinions bring to mind the words we recite so often from Tehillim Perek Kuf Kaf Dalet, Shir Hamalot. Az yemalei schok pinu ul shonenu rina, az yomru bagoyim, higdil Hashem la'asotim eile. Our mouths will be filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then they will say among the nations, Hashem has done great things for them. If in Galut we had no songs of praise to sing, as, when we're redeemed, Yemalei schok pinu ul shonenu rina, our tongues will be filled with songs of joy. If in Galut we had no response to our enemies' scorn, as, when we're redeemed, Yomru bagoyim higdil Hashem la'asotim eile, the response will be self-evident. Our enemies will see for themselves that their mockery was unfounded. Yeshayahu continues to describe the miracles of Yemot HaMashiach in Pasuk Zayin. V'haya ha-sharav le'agam v'tzimaon le'mabu'e mayim b'nevei tanim rivtzach hatzir le'kane v'gome. Torrid earth will become a pool, parched land, fountains of water, the home of jackals, a pasture, the abode of ostriches, reeds, and rushes. On the simplest level, this pasuk continues the theme of rejuvenation, describing how Hashem will turn even the driest land into a pool of water, and the desolate field into a thriving pasture. Abarbanel explains that at times in our years of exile, we suffered from hunger and thirst, but when Mashiach comes, we'll have plenty of water to drink, fountains of water spouting from the most parched land. Everything will be lush and green, crops will grow, and we'll eat to our heart's content. It's also possible to interpret this pasuk more metaphorically. Yeshayahu is describing the phenomenon of transformation. Dry places become pools of water. Ruined earth becomes a thriving field. Along these lines, Metzudat David sees this pasuk as a message about the transformation of Am Yisrael, from a nation that was scorned and despised to an honored and mighty people. This definitely fits with the psukim at the beginning of our perek, which described Israel's acquisition of the honor of Lebanon and the beauty of the Carmel and Sharon. Rashi suggests that the transformation in our pasuk is a metaphor for the potential of each individual to transform or elevate himself. Anyone who wants to be redeemed can be redeemed, says Rashi. Even the driest earth can become a pool of water. In the last few psukim of our perek, Yeshayahu describes the actual return of Bnei Yisrael from exile. It's almost possible to picture the scene. As the land blossoms and rejuvenates, v'hayasham maslul v'aderech, a road will appear, a pathway which will be called Derech HaKodesh because lo ya'avrenu tamei, only those who are deserving of redemption will be able to walk this path. Pasuk Chet promises that ve'evilim lo yitu, even those who were once blind or deaf to the words of the Nevi'im, even those who once faltered in their faith, won't lose their way once on this path, as it leads directly to Yerushalayim. Abarbanel explains that the phrase v'hulamo holech derech means that Hashem himself walks this path, guiding us in the direction of our redemption. With Hashem as our guide, of course we won't get lost. This vision is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Micha, v'ya'avor malkam lifnehem v'Hashem b'rosham, their king marches before them, Hashem at their head. Melech HaMashiach will lead us down this path of salvation, guided at the front by Hashem himself. In Pasuk Tet, Yeshayahu assures us that no wild animal or beast will cross this holy path. We can march back into Yerushalayim without fear. Radak reminds us that in our last perek, Yeshayahu described the lands of our enemies, namely Edom, becoming a wilderness full of predatory animals and demons. As we march back to Yerushalayim from the lands of our exile, which happens to be Galut Edom, we won't have to fear the danger of those predators. Ibn Ezra suggests that our pasuk is promising us safety from actual wild animals as well as metaphorical ones, our human enemies. This is what the pasuk means when it concludes, "V'halchu ge'ulim," the redeemed will walk. As we walk down this path, we'll do so with confidence, as if we've already reached the end, as if we're already as good as redeemed. And as we reach the gates of Yerushalayim, Yeshayahu describes the joy we'll feel. Ufduye Hashem Yeshuvun uva'u tzion berina v'simchat olam al rosham, sason v'simcha yasigu v'nasu yagon v'anacha. The ransomed of Hashem will return and enter Tzion with songs of joy, crowned with everlasting joy on their heads. They will attain joy and gladness, while sorrow and sighing flee. According to Malbim, this final pasuk of our perek describes the everlasting joy we'll feel as we return to Yerushalayim for the final time. Unlike our previous homecomings, this one is unconditional and permanent. The knowledge of this pushes away the sorrow of our past sufferings and allows us to shout with joy, "We're home!" Abarbanel notes that there are three expressions of joy in our pasuk: Rina, Simchat Olam, and Sason v'Simcha. He explains that the happiness we'll feel when Mashiach comes echoes the Rina of the first Beit HaMikdash and the Simchat Olam of the second Beit HaMikdash. Although the first and second Batei Mikdash were subject to destruction because of our sins and our vulnerability to our enemies, our third Beit HaMikdash will endure, putting an end to our spiritual exile along with our physical. This explains our Sason v'Simcha, our ecstasy at our return. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.